Appreciate the Lord helping us this morning. Amen. We had a good service this morning. I appreciate that. I appreciate the Lord's touch. I appreciate Him helping us from His Word. But we need Him tonight, just like we needed Him this morning. And so you look with me in the Word of God, and that's what we're going to try to do is get some help from God's Word. We need some help. How many would admit we need help in 2012? We need help. We need help. I know I need help each day along the way. And let me say, the only way we're going to get help is by the grace of God. The grace of God. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Titus chapter number 2, verse number 11, the Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Right. I like that. "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." I want to preach tonight on the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, Lord, I do love you. And I want to thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. I want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, your grace, your mercy, your long-suffering, your forgiveness, your kindness. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. As we look tonight into the Word of God, I pray you'd help us. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd illuminate our minds. I pray you'd open our hearts and help us to be receptive. Help us to receive just what you have for us tonight. Speak to each person, Lord, where they are tonight, and help us. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Grace is that which affords our joy, our pleasure, our delight, gives us sweetness. It brings us, if you will, grace is goodwill. Grace is loving kindness. Grace is favor. Grace is a gift. Grace, the Bible teaches us, if you understand this acrostic, some people have put it like this. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is that unmerited favor by which we undeservedly, we receive favor from God. He gives us his joy. He gives us his pleasure. He gives us his delight. He gives us these things. He gives us his goodwill and his kindness and his loving kindness and his mercy. God gives us what we don't deserve. That's grace. And I want you to look at this thought tonight, thinking about the good grace of God. Can I say the Bible teaches us that we're saved by grace? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 2, "For by grace are you saved, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, he said, "For I am what I am by the grace of God." Can I say that you and I will have no need tonight to ever get proud, to ever get haughty, to ever lift up ourselves, look at us, look at me, look at you. We'll have no reason to, hey, put a pin on my bash. No, 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 hold on, look up in here. None of us deserve anything other than hell, but thank God it's the good grace of God. He gives us kindness. If God uses you, hey, Sunday school teacher, if God uses you to teach a class, it's by his good grace. Bus worker, if God gives you the ability to go out and to get some kids and to bring them in church, it's nothing you did. It's the good grace of God working in your life. Preacher, if you're going to preach a message that's going to be effective for anything of the cause of Christ, it's not in you, but it's the good grace of God. Can I say anything you do, hey, that's for the cause of Christ, is by the grace of God. Matter of fact, can I say there's a lot of people get caught up on who they are and where they're from. Can I say, you were born where you were born by the grace of God. You could have been born, look up in here, you could have been born in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa. God don't owe you anything. You didn't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You are what you are by the grace of God. And I want us to look at this here in Titus. Look in verse number 11. We're talking about the good grace, the favor of God, that God bestows upon us that which we do not deserve, but we can enjoy at Christ's expense. In other words, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is what God gives to us through Jesus Christ because of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's grace. Somebody said grace was something for nothing. Can I help you out? Grace is everything for nothing. Everything for nothing. Look in verse number 11. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." I want to say something tonight about the display of grace. I don't know. I may not preach this whole message. I may just preach the first point. The display, you'll have to come back next week. You know what I'm saying? I'll get you on the hook, and you'll come back next week. The display of grace. The display. Notice the display of grace. Watch what he said. He said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That word appeared has the idea of to show or to bring to light or to make something visible. Or here it has the idea of to make or to become clearly known. Amen? That's why you don't chew gum in church, children. To make clearly known. That's what he's saying. He's saying that the grace of God has become clearly known. It has been made known. It has appeared unto all men. He's talking here in verse number 11 about what we call saving grace. He said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. He said something about this thing that brings salvation, this grace. He said it has appeared to all men. And when we understand the context of what the scripture is talking about, the grace of God, if you were to go back with me to the book of Luke, in Luke chapter number 2, the Bible talks about, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ in his incarnation. You understand, when Jesus Christ was born, he didn't become God. He already was God. Amen. Jesus Christ has always been God, and at his birth, he became man. God became, it wrapped himself in human flesh and became man to reveal God to man and to bring and to reveal and to manifest salvation and saving grace to mankind. That's why Jesus Christ came to this earth wrapped in the flesh of a man. Look at John chapter number 1. In John chapter number 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Verse 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Can I say to you, when Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago, came to this earth, wrapped himself in flesh, was laid in a manger, that right there was a picture of the grace of God. Jesus Christ was saying, here I am, boys and girls. Look up in here. Here's the way you're going to find salvation. It's only through the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus Christ, at his incarnation, was then making clearly known the grace of God that brings salvation to every man. Let me say number one about this display. This is Jesus Christ displaying to you and I the grace of God, the favor of God. Do you understand that he did not have to send his only begotten son into this world? You understand that he did that at his own choosing? Nobody made him. He did that at his own sovereign command. Hey, look up here. Hey, nobody. How many of y'all think you deserved it? Not a one of us deserved it. Thank God for grace. Thank God that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God. None of us deserve it. We see the display. Let me say, number one, grace was unveiled or unhidden. It was unveiled, hey, in the incarnation. Grace was unveiled. Grace, in the Old Testament, the Bible says about Noah. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, God was going to destroy the earth. And God looked down on the earth and he saw the wickedness of man. He was going to destroy it with the flood. But the Bible says there was a man named Noah. And the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah experienced grace. What about that? Thank God for grace. There's grace in the Old Testament. I want you to see this. Ruth is a picture of grace. Hey, Ruth and Boaz, that story, how Ruth was redeemed. That's a picture of grace, of a Gentile being bought back, amen, and redeemed. That's a picture of grace in the Old Testament. Jonah, when he went to Nineveh and preached, and the whole city repented and got right with God, that's a picture of grace in the Old Testament. I want you to see that grace is not forbidden in the Old Testament, but it's not the rule. But in the Old Testament, look up here, in the Old Testament, grace was experienced. But now in the New Testament, grace is the rule. Since Jesus Christ came, he said he was full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ brings grace. He's revealing to us grace is now. It's not, we don't just see it in pictures. We don't just see it in signs. We don't just see it in types. Now we see it. We see Jesus Christ. We see him crucified, him buried, him risen again. We see the grace of God unveiled. Thank God for the grace of God that brings salvation. Let me say, it's unveiled, but let me say, number two, something about this grace that's been made known. It's been clearly known. Not only is it unveiled, but let me say this. It was unrestricted. Can I say the grace of God is unrestricted? Now, there are some. You listening? There are some, and God help us, right here in the good old South, amen. I mean, right here in the Bible Belt, there are some who believe that God's grace is only for them. There are some who believe that God's grace is only for white folk. There are some that believe God's grace is only for Southerners. It's only for Baptists. Can I say God's grace is unrestricted? God's grace, hey, look up in here. You didn't do anything to get it, and watch it now. Hey, it's unrestricted. You can't keep it from being made known. What did he say? He said it hath appeared unto how many men? All men. The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, remember, go back in John chapter 6. Some people say, well, the Bible says in John 6, 44, that no man cometh to the Father. And Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me, draw him. John 6, 44, it says that. But in John 12, 32, Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen? Amen. Now, y'all better get with the Bible now. So, yeah, God's got to draw them, but Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary, what's he doing when he's lifted up? Was he lifted up on the cross? Was he lifted up? He was lifted up, and at the cross, when Jesus Christ is lifted up, he's the light of the world, and he's calling all men, women, boys, and girls, red, yellow, black, white, they're all precious in his sight. He's saying, come unto me, hey, all you that will, hey, come unto me, and be ye saved. That's what he's saying at Calvary. Amen. It's unrestricted grace. Some people says, well, it's only for a select few. You know, you've got to have been chosen. You were chosen in Christ. Amen. Hey, somebody says, well, you've got to be a part of the elect few. And if you're not a part of the elect few, you're not going to get in. Well, it's awful funny that them and their family is always in the elect few. But nobody else, their neighbor's not in the elect few. They can't get in. Some of y'all have been around some of this teaching, and I'm just saying it's not biblical. I'm going to try to help you tonight. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, the Bible says, hey, who will have, he said, verse 3, he said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. How many? Who will have all men to be saved come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. What I'm saying tonight, I'm saying Jesus Christ is the grace of God being manifested to everybody. Red, yellow, black, white, rich, poor, fat, skinny. Hey, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you came from. Hey, it doesn't matter what side of the ocean you came from. It doesn't matter who your mom and who your daddy is. It doesn't matter what they've done in their past. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter what anybody's done. Look up in here. What matters is what Jesus Christ done at Calvary. And when he went to Calvary, he spread his arms open and he died. And he shed his blood and he gave his life so that red, yellow, it doesn't matter what they are, so that sinners could be saved. Can I say the problem with people? It's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. Amen. In the grace of God, it's unveiled, but let me say it's unrestricted. 2 Peter 3:9, for the Lord's not slack concerning his the Lord's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but he's not willing that any should perish, but that how many? All should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. Wow, what about that? Somebody says, well, we're saved, you know, but hey, hold on, 1 John 2:2, you're not part of some elect group. Jesus Christ died for the world. Amen. Hey, 1 John 2:2, and he, that is Jesus, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I'm telling you, we need to get over this elitist pride, hey, attitude that, hey, me and my family saved, but I don't know about the ones down the road. Can I say the Bible said the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. This is a display. When Jesus Christ came into this world, he came into this world to die. When Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, a little baby, he came here for one reason. He didn't come here to turn water into wine. He didn't come here to walk on water. He didn't come. Look up here. The reason he was born and laid in that manger is so that one day he could grow up and go to an old rugged cross on a hill called Calvary. That's why he died. Why? so that he can make the grace of God appear to all men. That, hey, that right there is the display. Can I say not only is it not part of the grace, not only is it not for a select group, but let me say this. That means to me that the grace of God has appeared. Listen now. The grace of God has appeared to everybody, to all men. You with me? That's all classes of men. That's all types of men. You with me? So the hyper-Calvinist would say, well, grace, saving grace is irresistible. I mean, they say that if you're going to be saved, God's going to save you by his grace, and you have nothing to do with it. I talked to one of them this week. And they say, you don't have anything to do with it. And I said, well, sir, if you didn't have anything to do with it, when did you get saved? He said, when God chose me by his grace. And I said, just when was that? And let me ask you a question. Could you have resisted? He said, no, I could not have resisted, because everybody the Father gives to the Son, they shall come. I said, wait a minute. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 7, there was a group of people, and the apostle Stephen stood up and was preaching. And old Stephen, that filled with the Holy Ghost deacon, he pointed his fingers at him and he said, hey, you always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did. Wait a minute. There were some people who was resisting. Now, wait a minute, this is the grace. Titus 2, he said the grace of God. He didn't say the general call and the effectual call. No, he said the grace of God that brings salvation. How many of you would agree that's saving grace? The grace of God, he said it hath appeared unto all men. All men. Amen, preacher. So if it's appeared unto all men, let me ask you a question. Why are all men not saved? I'll tell you why. Because they're doing some resisting. There's countless numbers that resist the grace of God. They see the goodness of God. Can I say God's grace has been bestowed upon sinners tonight? They're not saved, but they've been given grace. Hey, they've been given mercy. They've been given the goodness of God. They sit right beside you at work. Hey, they're with you every day. They've experienced some grace. They've just resisted saving grace. Amen, preacher. Let me say tonight, if you're not saved, it's not God's fault. If you die and go to hell, it's not God's fault. You say, preacher, you said hell. Somebody needs to teach us that there is a place called hell to shun. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And let me say, the only way you'll get out of hell and get to heaven is by the grace of God. But if you resist the grace of God, let me say, there's no excuses for you. What did he say? He said, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. We're talking about the display. Let me say, it's unveiled. Let me say it's unrestricted. It's to all men. Hey, it's not to a select group. And let me say it's not irresistible. There's some that think, well, if I'm going to be saved, I'm going to be saved. That's hogwash. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He don't make you call on the name of the Lord. Amen? Man, we could go countless number after number. Hey, what about the rich young ruler? I think it's Matthew chapter 19. He came to the Lord Jesus. He'd seen the goodness of God. He'd seen Jesus Christ preaching and teaching. And he'd seen him, and he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gave him a list, and Jesus started going down through the law. Do these things. He said, all these have I done from my youth up. And Jesus is trying to, hey, what Jesus is not teaching, Jesus is not teaching him that keeping the law saved him. Jesus is trying to show him that he ain't never kept the law. And so he's going down through his little list, and Jesus said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, sell all that you have and come follow me. The Bible says that young rich ruler went away sorrowful, for he had great riches. See, you say, well, you say that, preacher? Because, let me say, Jesus made him an offer. Hey, Jesus made him an offer. You know what he did? He resisted grace. He said no. He turned and walked the other way. That's exactly what he did. Don't tell me grace is irresistible. For years, I resisted grace. Thank God that he came by in mercy, and he didn't have to. He came by another time. Amen? How many of y'all got saved the first time God dealt with you? How many of you the second time? How many of you the third time? Second time, count your blessings. Hey, Don't happen very often. Most people, God extends grace after grace. Somebody said, God's a God of second chances. Oh, he's way more than that, good neighbor. Hey, he's a God of third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances and sixth chance and tenth chance. Thank God he's a God of grace. And his grace, hey, his grace that brings salvation, the Bible says, has appeared unto all men. Let me say this. Now is it unveiled? Now is it unrestricted? But let me say this, and I'm going to stop. It's undeserved. I've already made mention of this, but his grace that brings salvation, he didn't have to deal with you. He didn't have to come by your way. He didn't have to come to Stokesdale. He didn't have to come to Fishersville, Virginia. He didn't have to come where you was down there yonder on the East Coast. He didn't have to come to Walnut Cove. Are you with me? He didn't have to. Say, why did he? Because he wanted to, amen. It's called favor. It's called his own free will. It's his own goodness. It's his loving kindness. It's his pleasure that he chose to come looking for you. And let me say, you wasn't looking for him. He was looking for you. Amen. If you're saved tonight, it's by the grace of God. And if you're not saved tonight, you can be saved because of the grace of God, by the grace of God. If you're not saved tonight, you've never trusted Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, why are you preaching this on Sunday night? I understand most people here tonight probably professes to be saved. But hey, you never know. You never know. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you right now, we're preaching the Bible, and we're going to go through it verse by verse, and we're going to preach it the way God gives it to us. And the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. You won't die and go to hell and point your finger in God's face and say, God, I didn't know. God, I didn't have a chance. Oh, yeah, you did. Hey, there's at least one night you sat in an old-fashioned church and heard a preacher tell you, hey, that you could be saved by the grace of God. The grace of God displayed. Next week, we'll get back. We'll get into it more next week. We're going to look at other things. But let me say it like this, and I'll give you something to think about. The grace of God does more in your life than save you. After you're saved, the grace of God does a work in your life. Some people say, well, the grace of God, you know, it saved me, but now I can live like I want to. Old neighbor, I beg to differ. If you think that, come back next Sunday night. I got a verse for you. It's called verse 12. Hey, next week we're going to look at the discipline of God's grace, the destiny of God's grace, and the desire of God's grace. Lord willing, we'll get into it next week. But I want you to see tonight the display of God's grace. I want you to notice that the grace of God, hey, get over your prideful, egotistical self. It's not just for you and you're forward no more. Amen? The grace of God has, hey, it's been made known, clearly known. It's easy to see the goodness of God in your life. It's easy to see, hey, that Jesus Christ, hey, he died for your sin. I'm telling you tonight, hey, the grace of God, I say this is pretty good news, amen. You ought to get excited to know that you and your family don't have to go to hell because of the grace of God, hey, hath appeared unto all men. Can I say, hey, that the people in Africa, they don't have to go to hell because the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. We can send them a missionary. We can get the gospel to them because the grace of God hath appeared to all men. Amen, preacher. Hey, I'm talking about the grace of God that brings salvation. Can I help you out tonight? Hey, it ain't the works of man that brings salvation. It's the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Read your Bible. It didn't say the baptism of the church that bringeth salvation or the Lord's Supper of the church. No, he said the grace of God that brings salvation. And he said it appeared unto all men. So who did he leave out? Who did he skip over? Who did he miss? Who didn't make the cut? Amen. Not a person, not a soul. The grace of God. Say, preacher, does that mean everybody's heard the gospel? No, that ain't what that means. But that means that Jesus Christ is available to everybody. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The display of God's grace is the incarnation, that is the birth, and then the death, and the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. That right there, my friend, is the display. There's no other greater picture of the grace of God than Jesus Christ dying on a cross for your sins and for my sins, going to a tomb, being buried, and raising again, and hey, conquering death hell, and the grave for you and for me, you'll find no greater picture of the grace of God than the display of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for Calvary. Lord, thank you for the grace of God. Thank you for helping us tonight. I pray, God, you'd help us through your word. I pray you'd speak to hearts and lives. Lord, we do pray that if there be anybody in this service tonight that's lost, Lord, they've never been saved, never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, God, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd speak to their heart. God, I pray you'd help them to see that if they'd simply, by faith, call out and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, they can be saved. God, speak to hearts and lives tonight. Help us tonight as Christians. God, help us, Lord, I pray, to be reminded of the good grace of God in our life. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for all you've done. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's stand tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed.